Hi everyone, I'm Gary Knoll. Today we have a lot of good information to share with you all over the world. I just was told that we had 57,000 downloads of one of my programs in the last few days, and we have a lot of new listeners from all over the world. I want to thank the millions upon millions of people who tune in because we are the voice of progressive movements, ideals. We're not Democrat, we're not Republican, we're not political, but we are looking for the truth, which substantially differentiates us from other forms out there. Today, for example, on Health and Healing from the Institute of Systems Biology, which is in Seattle, published in Nature Metabolism, a major peer-reviewed journal, how the bacteria in your gut will directly determine how well and how long you age. That's important. Who doesn't want to live a longer life and be healthy in the process without the common diseases we associate with aging, which are actually diseases of consumption, diseases of omission? So that's important. But we're also today going to talk about rosmarinic acid that suppresses cognitive decline in Alzheimer's disease. This is the University of Tokyo, which is in Japan. And I'll talk about that, about how this one single chemical, it is called rosmarinic acid. It's a polyphenol. It's found in some herbs, and it's great for helping you prevent dementia and also not losing your cognition. So that's a big deal. Also, from the University of Granada, which is in Spain, excess fatty tissue accumulated in the neck increases the chance of suffering heart problems. That's important because think of all the people in America who are overweight. That's about half the population. Think of all the people who are obese. That's about one-third the adult population. And what do you notice? Fat around their neck. So pay attention on this, because just keep in mind that those double chins and jowls, the deeper deposits of fat, both superficial that you can see and then that which you can't see, like around the cervical vertebrae, that increases in direct proportion to the weight and the fat, your chances of a heart attack. Also today, the effects of saffron, that's the herb, on your mood and well-being in response to psychosocial stressors. This is from Northumbria University in the United Kingdom. And we're also going to talk about the science of your genes determining your daytime napping. And also there's an interesting study that one or more sodas, that's it, just one a day, could decrease your chance of getting pregnant. Boston University School of Public Health. And also, I'm going to give you some quick, short updates on taurine, for example, and green tea as to why we should be putting these into our diet each day. So we are the number one program in the world to talk about health and healing, longevity. We do more original investigative reporting than any other radio program in American history, more white papers. We do more citizens activist journalism than any other program in the United States. More on the environment than any program in America. That's why a lot of people are coming to us each day. So today, continuing with that concept, love your servitude. Who said that? Two people. We're going to hear from both, Aldous Huxley and George Orwell, in their own words. Also, millennials in the workplace, a generation of weakness. Who says that? Because I have some millennials working right now who are terrific. I could not expect more quality work. They surpass even the high standards I set. But I've also seen those millennials who don't want to work at all. Simon Sinek is going to give us a response. He's millennial, and he'll tell us about that. Now, I don't know that we'll get all this in, but also today, between each of these segments, we're going to have a talk back, and it'll be your opportunity to call in and share your points of view. I want to start with a simple nutrient. It's inexpensive, it's safe. Most people have never heard of it, or have ever used it, is called taurine, T-A-U-R-I-N-E. Why should you have this? Simple. It boosts your brain cells. And what do you lose after the age of 40? Brain cells. It has a regeneration process for your whole body. So if you want one nutrient that can impact cells all over your body in a rejuvenating way, it's taurine, 1,000 milligrams a day. It can do a lot. It can help you with learning and memory because it enhances that part of the brain where it works. It also enhances our what are called neurites, N-E-U-R-I-T-E-S, tiny projections that help brain cells communicate with each other. Well, who doesn't want that? Now, another nutrient that I'm going to go into depth on our next program, but not today, is green tea. I'll just give you a few of the things that green tea does and why I believe people should be taking it every day. Green tea, the actual ingredients in it are called catechins, cat, C-A-T, agens, E-C-H-I-N-S. They include EGCG, and that supports your brain and your whole body health. The ECG actually supports new brain cell growth. That's very positive. It promotes the brain plasticity. That's important. It improves cognitive performance, and it enhances brainwave activity. I'm suggesting 700 milligrams and up, and that is based upon what a person is trying to achieve. If you were coming to see me for cancer or autoimmune diseases, I would be suggesting different amounts. But for normal, healthy aging, 300 to 700 milligrams a day. Again, on my next program, I'm going to do a mini class on the air just on green tea in depth. Now, I mentioned that about our gut bacteria. And one of the very first things I do at all the retreats, on health support groups, on 44 different clinical studies, now it's 47 clinical studies, the anti-aging study, the very first thing is purge the body of old, dead, and diseased microorganisms, including bacteria. That means giving up caffeine, which is highly anabolic and dangerous, shouldn't be consumed at all. That also means giving up all sugars. Artificial sweeteners are particularly deadly, but also processed sugars, especially high fructose corn syrup, because it leads to what is called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, where your liver is loaded with fat, which is deadly. You can die from that, but it's not due to alcohol. It's not due to cirrhosis or hepatitis. It's due to just having too much sugar. So all that produces bad bacteria. But when you cleanse out that bad bacteria and their juices that will do that, their fibers that will do that, then you're able to see an entire change. I've seen people, in fact, there was a person who actually filmed her years ago. And in the film, she was a little embarrassed, understandably so, because she had acute adult acne. It was all over her face. And even though she had makeup on, you could still see it. And it was all over her neck. And I said, what is it that concerns you most? And she says that my partner won't say anything because he's just being nice. But recently, and this has happened too many times, he gave me a hug. And after the hug, it was just a hug, I pulled away and I saw that my acne had burst all over his neck and shirt. He didn't know that yet. And I felt such humiliation. And I've had this for 12 years. I've been to every dermatologist. Nothing will happen. So I said, let's see what we can do. So I put her on a cleansing detoxification protocol. She noticed that there was a change. There was a sensation. She was having headaches. She couldn't sleep. She was going through a little difficult week. And I said, it's completely normal because you're breaking an addiction. Being the head of addiction control at Trafalgar Hospital for a long time, I saw thousands of young people, mainly young people, go off coffee, drugs, alcohol, smoking, and you have no idea how bad it can be. I saw one guy projectile vomit after he had just eaten, and I'm sitting there about to talk with him, and suddenly he goes, oh, and clear across the room, hits the wall. That's how strong that projectile vomit went. Everything came up. He was going through the withdrawal. So when you get off coffee, caffeine in particular, you're going to go through withdrawal, headaches, migraines, insomnia, upset stomach, muscles tightening, tremors. Sugar, getting off sugar is similar to getting off cocaine. Absolutely. So you have to know what your brain needs and your body needs. And one of the first things you do is you purify the gut by taking out all the highly acidic elements in your diet, all your acids, like phosphoric acid from sodas, soft drinks, and caffeine. Caffeine is one of the single most dangerous things in the world. You should never drink it. It is poison. Yes, there's some studies showing they can make you awake. Well, cocaine can make you awake, and methamphetamine can make you awake. Not suggested, right? So we got to stop apologizing for stupid. All right, there is no explanation when they're stupid. There's just an obsession over not willing to change. It's dangerous. It's deadly. Give it up. Anyhow, you want to replace it. So now you're going through a process which generally takes about 3 weeks to a month, cleansing. But then you have to rejuvenate. You have to rebuild. And rebuilding, that's where the probiotics come in. And the healthier those probiotics, the healthier your gut microbiome. Micro, M-I-C-R-O, biome, B-I-O-M-E. It simply means bacteria. And there are trillions of bacteria in your gut. And there's many different types of bacteria. And the healthier the bacteria from things such as fermented foods, whether it's natto or kimchi or sauerkraut or even apple cider vinegar or yogurts, or just taking supplements of non-dairy probiotics, you're going to recolonize that. And the more you recolonize every day without polluting it, suddenly everything's going to feel better. Well, then you start to rebalance the person's micronutrients, because many of these are macronutrients, but potassium, calcium, magnesium, selenium, very important in this process. And then a healthy plant-based diet. Well, lo and behold, 6 weeks later, this person came back and all the acne was gone. The scars were there. And I suggested some laser therapy to clean that up. In fact, for many people who have sun-damaged skin, there's different types of laser therapy, but there's ones that will go deep enough to peel off the dead and deformed tissue and allow new rejuvenative tissue to emerge. Within 3 months of doing all this, she had skin that was smooth, healthy, nice color, good circulation, and not a single scar or pimple or acne, nothing. Totally transformed her life. So that's what it means to have good gut microbiome. And going through her history, she was a junk food junkie, and she worked in the evenings in restaurants so she would keep herself with a high up on energy with lots of caffeine. And by the way, fibrocystic breasts, caffeine. Fibroids, caffeine. All right? Major problem there. Now, then we have from the University of Tokyo a way to help improve our cognition. And it's called ROS, R-O-S, marinic, M-A-R-I-N-I-C, acid. That's what I mentioned comes from natural sources. It's a polyphenol. And in this case, it comes from what is called the Lamassia herbs. And you can get this, it's non-toxic, you get it. But what this does, it goes through the body and it enhances the anti-inflammatory effects. And that's important, especially in the hippocampal area of the brain. So just one more piece to a puzzle. Also, when you are overweight, you're going to have fat deposits in different parts of the body. Keep this in mind. a person is almost always over fat before they're overweight. What do I mean? I've run marathons with guys who were skinny. I mean skinny. In fact, I was once skinny, and I had just gone out to Los Angeles to do the first LA Marathon, and that was fun. Took a whole group out there. I think there were 30 of us, went from the Natural Living Running and Walking Club. And some of us brought back, you know, the medals, gold or silver, and that was exciting. But then Regis Philbin asked me to come be on his show, and I did Regis' show all the time. I'd fly out there until he came to New York. Then I was his regular nutritionist on there. I helped him out also. He was a nice guy, by the way. Very upbeat personality. And they always sent back then, they don't do it now, but they would send any guest a photograph of you on the set with the host or hostess. And I saw myself and I thought, oh God, I look terrible. I look skinny. I'm too skinny. And there's where you got to be conscious. When a runner says, you look good, no, you look like you're dying of something. So I put on about 5 more pounds and got up to what would be the minimum running weight very fast. But you got to understand, you can still be over fat and skinny. If you're not exercising all of your muscle groups, fat builds up in the muscle. Until one day there's no more room in the muscle, so the fat spills out into the cell. Therefore, that's a subcutaneous tissue that you can actually see. And by the time you're seeing fat, you're over fat. It means there's no more room. So when you're seeing fat under your arms, around your neck, on your upper back, around the thighs and the belly, you are seriously over fat. And that can create some problems. Now, this study from the University of Granada just talks about the problems that can be created around your neck that can cause heart problems, all forms of heart problems. Just so you understand, that accumulation of fatty tissue in the neck, both the double chin and the deeper deposits, located between the muscles and around the cervical vertebrae, that is a very big predictor of overall adiposity, or the cardiometabolic risk, meaning you're pro-inflammatory, because that fat is very pro-inflammatory. And for younger people today, we have an epidemic of overweight children and young people that put you at risk of heart disease. All right? So that's why you got to lose weight, because otherwise you're walking around with what is called chronic low-grade inflammation. You don't really notice it, but it's going on 24/7. So let's get rid of those double chin or jowls, and let's protect ourselves. And one last thing from Northumbria University, which is in the United Kingdom, they found that saffron, which almost nobody ever uses because it's so expensive. I mean, just a tiny little thread of it is like $5. But it's very powerful. And it can actually improve your mood and well-being and a positive response to psychosocial stressors. So that's a good study. So saffron, it's not a lot you have to take. 30 milligrams. 30 milligrams is a very small amount of standardized saffron extract. You can only get it in health food stores. Maybe you can get it cheaper online, but it makes a big difference. Because when you're using saffron, and they did this study comparing it to a placebo for 8 weeks, and they found with this battery of what is called the profile of mood state, or POMS test, the acute effects of people dealing with different stresses were substantially improved with saffron. So that's the good news. We are 20 minutes into our program. I'm Gary Nall. We're broadcasting out to the whole world, so we're glad that you're there. And we're going to take a break, and when we come back from the break, I'm going to run through some current headlines that are important. Also, we're accumulating a whole team of us. We're accumulating every highly qualified scientist or physician, meaning they must have an impeccable background, no controversy in their background, published in multiple peer-reviewed journals, at the top of their field. No one from the alternative movement, even though we have outstanding people in the alternative movement, is being given an opportunity, because we want only the ultimate quality orthodox science and medicine. We're accumulating their best comments, most current recent comments on COVID, on the false death toll, the false fake PCR test, the intentional non-promotion of drugs that could have saved over a million lives and certainly saved probably 90% of the people who've died in the United States from COVID, and then the conflation of people in nursing homes or hospice care who died not because of COVID but with COVID. They were dying of other comorbidities, but COVID could have exacerbated that situation. And in fact, in many cases, it was 70% of the initial people dying were dying in nursing homes. So what did that have to do with young people? We're doing a whole series of studies, getting all the peer review studies, and we're only using peer review studies that young people shouldn't be locked in at home, should be allowed to attend school. So everything is wrong, which is everything. And then we also have one person who's one of the world's outstanding journalists doing the reports on all the propaganda that has given cover to Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates and others. And we have a person who's the world's leading scholar on Bill Gates who is going to deconstruct the myth that this is a nice guy or an honest guy. This has never been done before. This is the most comprehensive investigation by multiple people. And we're going to give a sample of this, about an hour sample, at the end of our webinar coming up Sunday week, 28th at noon. And it premieres, starts off with a very powerful, uplifting documentary that everybody really should see about curing AIDS naturally. Considering all the millions of people who are HIV infected and have AIDS today, we should demand them get these protocols. And this was done by a group of outstanding investigative journalists. So that's at noon. Then we have a panel of outstanding scientists, journalists, medical doctors, then your questions. Then we are going to show everything that's wrong about COVID. So you're not going to get this anywhere else. This has taken just thousands of hours. How long would the final product be? I don't know. If I had to guess, I would say maybe 100 hours or more. And it's all going to be in one place. So no matter where you are in the world, if you want to know the truth, the absolute truth, based upon real science by the outstanding people, we'll have it. Their backgrounds, their bios, and then use that in the lawsuits. And by the way, the top lawyer in the world will be on Progressive Commentary our Tuesday night for an hour talking about the lawsuits being brought, because now we fight back. Now we sue these bastards. Right now we're going to go to court. We're going to expose them. But mind you, they're going to do everything humanly possible to stop that from happening. Okay, we know how dirty they are. We know how corrupt they are. We know what they control and who they control. So we're prepared for this battle. Because otherwise, if you didn't know what we know, then you're going to go out there and get your COVID test and then get a vaccine or two. So we're going to take a break and come back, and I'm going to give you some headlines that should give you a sense of pause. Then we're going to go to our first video, come back from that, and then you can call in and give your comments. Okay, some of the headlines that I'd like to share with you. Yeah, this is interesting. This University of Arkansas study suggests a link between DNA and marriage satisfaction in newlyweds. And this is something that it makes sense intuitively, but now they're verifying it scientifically. Remember, truth always precedes scientific validation. And what they're saying here is variation in a specific gene could be related to traits that are beneficial to bonding and relationship satisfaction in the first years of a marriage. Recent research indicates that a variation called CC in the gene CD38 is associated with increased levels of gratitude. And then they took it from there and also found out that there's a greater variation in trust, forgiveness, and marriage satisfaction, meaning that some of the most important qualities of being with another person are in your genes. That means that they had been in previous genes, previous generations. It can go back 7 generations, the epigenetic consequences. So when you look at some people from the past, if you take the time to go back and study, you find that they had wonderful relationships and they seem just to go together. That's because they were together at the genetic level and those genes are vibrating and those harmonizing vibrations are creating joy for being with that person. And this was published in Nature Scientific Reports, a very respected journal. So ask yourself this. Have you ever been with anyone, whether it worked out or not, have you ever been with anyone where you just felt, wow, this is just too cool to be real? You just harmonized. You felt as if two people sharing an association. I'm not talking about just sexual attraction. I'm talking about something deeper. And the satisfaction of being. And you maybe couldn't understand it. And maybe your resumes were different, but you had that sensation. All right? Now we understand a little bit more why. Because it was a part of our genes. I like your thoughts on that. This is from CBS Detroit. A TV anchor, Karen Hudson Samuels, dies one day after taking COVID vaccine. All right? Now, you heard about her, but there are other people dying that you're not hearing about. And we should know about this. By the way, U.S. life expectancy drops a year. A year. That's a huge difference since World War II. So life expectancy in the United States dropped a staggering 1 year during the first half of 2020. So that tells us that part of what causes our life expectancy to drop, stress, not exercising, not eating a proper diet, not having proper supplementation, not having a good support system, and etc., then that means that's what we should be seeking in a life to live much longer. This is interesting. A new study, Gardasil human papilloma vaccine contains chemical used in biological warfare. This is from Emily Tarcell. Quote, PMSF, a nerve agent, is used to manufacture human papillomavirus vaccines, but it's not supposed to be in the final product. However, new research documents its presence in Merck's Gardasil 9 human papillomavirus. Quote, a new peer-reviewed study, the expanding cocktail of harmful ingredients in human papillomavirus vaccines by Brower and Sullivan, documents the presence of undisclosed highly toxic volatile organic chemicals called AEBSF and PMSF in Merck's two vaccines. They're also known, PMSF is also known as toluene, and in a it is an inhibitor, which means it can act as a nerve agent to inactivate central nervous system low functions. It blocks the enzyme acetylcholinase, and the result can be uncontrollable firing of motor signals, which can manifest as seizures and other biochemical physiological disorders. It's been used as a nerve agent in biological warfare. So, what are some of the side effects? I've counseled a lot of parents who had completely healthy teenage girls, athletic, and then they took the Gardasil. They had seizures. They had loss of muscle use. They had breathing problems, neurological problems. Well, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is suing on the dangers of the Gardasil vaccine, and I've done multiple exposés on the Gardasil vaccine. And by the way, I have a new website, vaccinenation.net. Dozens and dozens of articles, I think hundreds of articles, from the best minds out there, including Robert F. Kennedy, Mary Holland, Children's Health Defense Fund, Barbara Lowe Fisher, and Richard Gale, myself, have published over 55 articles, plus documentaries, books, and other things. So that's a new source for you. The House seeks, and this is from Common Dreams, Brett William Wilkins. Think about this. White House seeks $200 million arms sale to Egypt. Didn't we just have a prominent Egyptian-American activist arrested and jailed? Yeah, we did. Quote, on the same day that the Biden administration published a statement supporting a declaration against arbitrary detention, the days after relatives of a prominent Egyptian-American activist were arrested and jailed, the U.S. State Department on Wednesday announced the proposed sale of $200 million worth of shipborne surface-to-air missiles to Egypt's authoritarian regime. And the boilerplate language, the State Department said the $197 million sale of 168 Raytheon rolling airframe missiles, quote, will support the foreign policy and national security of the United States by helping to improve the security of a major non-NATO ally country that continues to be an important strategic partner in the Middle East, end quote. Wow. So all the people who told you if we get into power, we're going to be different. No, they're all the same. And who's behind this? It's the military-industrial complex, because nobody, not Democrats or Republicans, nobody challenges them. Whatever they want, they get, and they can sugarcoat anything. How exactly giving all these missiles to a rogue state with no democracy that jails people, that doesn't support women's rights, that doesn't allow freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, how exactly does that help the United States? It doesn't. But then again, giving a Nobel Peace Prize to a person that invaded seven countries and destabilized them makes just about as much sense. Your thoughts? Now we're starting to see what the actual policies are, and they're no different. More the same. By the way, Texas is running out of food as energy catastrophe goes on. And this is from Texas Tribune. The state's week of weather hell started with a deadly 133-car pileup outside of Fort Worth. A winter storm unlike any Texas has ever seen quickly followed, and 7 days later, millions are without power and reliable water. Now they're running out of food. So, what could have prevented much of this? Well, do you remember when I did the what to do when disaster strikes? Because I also have a place in Texas. I've lived in Texas for 20 years, all told, 8 and then 10, 11. Just doing common sense. I won't go through everything they could have done, but these are not difficult things to do nor expensive. It's just people don't get out of harm's way. You could say the same thing about people living around trees that are drying out. And it's inevitable there's going to be a fire, and sooner or later, it's going to burn down their house. So why don't they do something? Or living in a hurricane alley, or tornado alley, or living in a drought place. So one more reason why we have to get off the grid and start having reliable, sustainable food and quality of life planned and stored. I'll be doing a show on this later on. I'm going to do a live discussion that you'll be able to stream from your own homes when I show people how to build and maintain their own hydroponic house. It wouldn't matter what the temperature, because you accommodate the temperature. It could be 5 below, 10 below zero. It wouldn't matter. It's how you control the temperature inside. Plant it in the ground, it's all going to die. So you see, what we don't plan for, and suddenly it hits us. Now, will people wake up? You bet. I believe a lot of people will say, I don't want that to happen again. And by the way, from Tim Sorok, Biden is adopting a militaristic approach to the Far East. Appointees from the hawkish think tank world indicate the potential for renewed tensions with North Korea as well as a Cold War with China. That's good news. Cold War with China, Cold War with Russia, Cold War with North Korea. Do you realize how many hundreds of millions, billions to different companies this is going to make per year? How the media will fall right in line saying they're definitely it. Russia's going to attack us. We've got to spend this money. Yeah. And so you see that the people in the White House are really irrelevant. Who's there? I want to share this with you before we go to this one audio clip. Oh, and by the way, there was a lot of people. I believe it was let's see, how many died? 46 deaths in one nursing home in Spain. Then they stop. That's correct. Quote, and this is from Health Impact News. They do a good, Brian, those people there do a good job. Health Impact News, along with COVID Action Quarterly, would be two of my top 10 selections for getting accurate, honest, unbiased, non-political edged information so you know you're getting the truth. And here's what they're reporting today. Quote, Our Lady of the Rosary Nursing Home is reeling due to mass deaths from the mRNA inoculations. All residents and workers at the facility received the first dose of Pfizer's RNA in early January. According to Spain's mainstream media outlet ABC Seville, most residents became extremely ill shortly after the shots, and then many came down with COVID despite being vaccinated against it. I also mentioned on yesterday's program that you had people who didn't have COVID until they got the shot. Then they had COVID. So that's important. Later on, I'm going to be inviting a person on who has something to say about the shaky science behind the deadly new strains. She challenges it. She says they're selling you nonsense because they don't have mathematical model to prove it. I'm concerned about censorship. I know many of you are also concerned. And who said this, by the way? If you know who said this, call 888-874-4888. If liberty means anything at all, it means the right to tell people what they do not want to hear. If liberty means anything at all, it means the right to tell people what they don't want to hear. I believe, along with John Whitehead and others, that we are approaching the end of free speech as we have known it. In a world increasingly automated and filtered through the lens of artificial intelligence, we are finding ourselves at the mercy of inflexible algorithms that dictate the boundaries of our liberties. Once artificial intelligence becomes a fully integrated part of the government bureaucracy, which it is doing right now at accelerated speed, and these are all private contractors, there will be little recourse. It'll be too late. We'll be subject to the intransigent judgments of techno rulers. Let me explain how I believe this will start. I'm sure many people, the older people in this audience, and certainly the activists, will remember Martin Niemöller's warning about the widening net that ensnares us all, and it still applies today. He said, first they came for the socialist. I didn't speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists. I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews. I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me and there was no one left to speak for me. In our case, however, it started with the censors who went after extremists, spouting so-called hate speech, and a few spoke out because they were not extremists and didn't want to be shamed for being perceived as politically incorrect. Then the internet censors got involved and went after extremists spouting disinformation about stolen elections, the Holocaust, Hunter Biden, whatever it was. And very few people spoke out, certainly no one in the mainstream media. They applauded this. Yes, stop misinformation. And why not? These people were not extremists. They didn't want to be shunned for appearing to disagree with the majority. By the time the techno censors went after extremists spouting misinformation about COVID pandemic or vaccines or 5G or GMO foods, the censors had developed a system and a strategy for silencing all nonconformists. Still, very few spoke out. Eventually, we the people will be the ones in the crosshairs. At some point or another, depending upon how the government and its corporate allies define what constitutes extremism, we the people might all of us, be considered guilty of some thought crime or other. Remember the film Minority Report with Tom Cruise, where they would arrest people before they committed a crime because they could get into your mind, see what you're thinking? When that time comes, there may be no one left to speak out, because all of us who have had voices as activists, we will all be gone. Whatever we tolerate now, whatever we turn a blind eye to now, whatever we rationalize when it is inflicted on others, whether in the name of securing racial justice or defending democracy or combating fascism, we eventually will see that come back and imprison us, one and all. So watch and learn. We should all be alarmed when prominent social media voices like Robert Kennedy Jr. are censored, silenced, and made to disappear from Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram for voicing ideas that are deemed politically incorrect or hateful or dangerous or conspiratorial. They're none of the above, but they'll make you believe that he is evil. The question is not whether the content of their speech is legitimate. The concern is what happens after such prominent targets are muzzled. What happens when you no longer have someone who has the courage you lack, fighting the battle you refuse to? You're hiding in a closet somewhere screaming, and yet those who are silent go out and say, I will be the front line between this tyranny. And then you start seeing how few there are. How few. I think we have to rethink what the silent majority really represents, because they're about to face corporate techno-censors turning their sights on them. It's a slippery slope from censoring so-called illegitimate ideas. For example, questioning the relationship between the Jewish state and the Palestinians living in Israel, and suddenly you're anti-Semitic. It doesn't matter if you're Jewish, a scholar, live in Israel, you're now a self-hating Jew, and you're to be shamed, fired, silenced. Eventually, as George Orwell predicted, telling the truth will become a revolutionary act, and we are at that stage right now. I've called out Beverly D'Angelo. I've called out her book on white fragility. I see it, in my personal opinion, it is no less dangerous than Mein Kampf, My Story. Because if it weren't for Hitler and Joseph Goebbels and his propaganda ministry making you believe, making 50 million Germans believe that somehow the Jews were at fault and they were genetically inferior and dealing with them the way they were dealt with was justified, you have no idea how far it can go when someone is labeled the other. And the other is to be disrespected. Pol Pot, the killing fields, Stalin, with the starvation of millions of people in Ukraine. Mao Zedong, just take a look around. And we are approaching that point because we are so radical, so off the chart in irresponsible dialogue, so embedded in identity politics, that the anti-racists are the ultimate racists, the anti-fascists are the ultimate fascists. The media knows it, the intellects know it, but they're all abiding by it. They're now wanting Biden to appoint a reality czar in order to tackle all disinformation so that there will be no domestic extremism. But what about when you burn down thousands of small businesses mainly owned by minority people? That didn't exist. It's a lie. Never happened. But it did happen. No, it didn't. Wow. So when you have a reality czar, if anyone speaks up for the truth, that person then can be silenced. The information that they propose can be scrubbed. So knowing what we know about the government's tendency to define its own reality and attach its own labels to behavior and speech that challenges its authority, this should be a cause of alarm for the entire political spectrum. And yet there is no alarm at all. Here's the point. You don't have to like anyone in power or anyone who is popular, but you shouldn't want to see them muzzled, because when they start muzzling the people you disagree with, how long before they muzzle you? There's always long-term ramifications for such censorship, and to think otherwise is dangerously naive. As Matt Welch, writing for Reason, rightly points out, proposed changes to government policy should always be visualized with the opposing team in charge of implementation. In other words, whatever powers you allow the government and its corporate operatives to claim now for the sake of the greater good or because you like or trust those in charge will eventually be abused and used against you by tyrants of your own making. I'll close with Glenn Greenwald writing, he said, the glaring fallacy that is always lying at the heart of pro-censorship sentiments is the gullible, delusional belief that censorship powers will be deployed only to suppress views one dislikes, but never one's own views. Facebook is not some benevolent, kind, passionate parent or a subversive radical actor who is going to police our discourse in order to protect the weak and marginalized or serve as a noble check on mischief by the powerful. They're almost always going to do exactly the opposite, protect the powerful from those who seek to undermine elite institutions and reject their orthodoxies. Tech giants, like all corporations, are required by law to have one overriding objective, maximizing shareholder value. They are always going to use their power to appease those they perceive wield the greatest political and economic power. Welcome to the age of techno-fascism. We're here, and it's everywhere, and going to get worse as long as people cannot find their voices. I'm Gary Noll, and I don't believe we had anyone call in yet. Okay, so we're going to go to our clip. Okay, no calls. By the way, it was George Orwell. We're going to go to a clip about George Orwell because it ties in with the theme today.
It's the beginning of time. But this has generally been of a violent nature. The techniques of terrorism have been known from time immemorial, and people have employed them with more or less with the utmost crudity, sometimes with a good deal of skill acquired by a process of trial and error, finding out what the best ways of using torture, imprisonment, constraints of various kinds. But as I think it was Metternich said many years ago, you can do everything with bayonets except sit on them. That if you are going to control any population for any length of time, you must have some measure of consent. It's exceedingly difficult to see how pure terrorism can function indefinitely. It can function for a fairly long time, but I think sooner or later you have to bring in an element of persuasion, an element of getting people to consent to what is happening to them. Well, it seems to me that the nature of the ultimate revolution with which we are now faced is precisely this, that we are in process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchy, who have always existed and presumably always will exist, to get people actually to love their servitude. This is, seems to me, the ultimate in malevolent revolution, shall we say, and that there seems to be a general movement in the direction of this kind of ultimate revolution, this method of control by which people can be made to enjoy a state of affairs which, by any decent standard, they ought not to enjoy. The enjoyment of servitude. And first, let me talk about a little bit about the improvement even in the techniques of terrorism. I think there have been improvements. Pavlov, after all, made some extremely profound observations, both on animals and on human beings. And he found, among other things, that conditioning techniques applied to animals or humans in a state either of psychological or physical stress sank in, so to say, very deeply into the mind-body of the creature and were extremely difficult to get rid of, that they seem to be embedded more deeply than other forms of conditioning. In this context, I would like to mention the extremely interesting chapters in Dr. William Sargent's Battle for the Mind, where he points out how intuitively some of the great religious teachers, leaders of the past, hit on the Pavlovian method. He speaks specifically of Wesley's method of producing conversions, which were essentially based upon a technique of heightening psychological stress to the limit by talking about hellfire, and so making people extremely vulnerable to suggestion, and then suddenly releasing this stress by offering hopes of heaven. And this is a very interesting chapter of showing how completely, on purely intuitive and empirical grounds, a skilled natural psychologist, as Wesley was, could discover these Pavlovian methods. Well, as I say, we now know the reason why these techniques worked, and there is no doubt at all that we can, if we want to, carry them much further than was possible in the past. And of course, in the recent history of brainwashing, both as applied to prisoners of war and to the lower personnel within the Communist Party in China, we see that the Pavlovian methods have been applied systematically and with extraordinary efficacy. I mean, I think there can be no doubt that by the application of these methods, a very large army of totally devoted people has been created. The conditioning has been driven in, so to say, by a kind of psychological iontophoresis, into the very depth of the people's being, and has got so deep that it's very difficult for it ever to be rooted out. And these methods, I think, are a real refinement on the older methods of terror, because they combine methods of terror with methods of acceptance, that the person who he is subjected to a form of terroristic stress, but for the purpose of inducing a kind of voluntary, quotes, acceptance of the state into the psychological state into which he has been driven, and the state of affairs within which he finds himself. So that, as I say, there has been, I think, a definite improvement, shall we say, even in the techniques of terrorism. Well, then we come to the consideration of other techniques, of non-terroristic techniques for inducing consent and for inducing people to love their servitude. First of all, there are the methods connected with straight suggestion and hypnosis. I think we know much more about this subject.
We're out of time, everyone. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.